You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Primetime Action, live from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could join us tonight. Kelly, we do have some, it's primarily hockey going on right now, some college basketball. Very slight NBA card, but let's update what we have.
Anyway. Yeah, one NBA game going on. Timberwolves up on the Knicks, 23-18, 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter of that game. If you wanted to get in live, Timberwolves are a 6.5-point live betting favorite, 217.5. Your live total. Over on the ice, we've got four games going. Islanders and Flyers all tied up at one at the end of one. The Islanders minus 145, Flyers plus 110, 5.5. Your live total. Sabres lead the Senators 1-0 in the first intermission. Live numbers currently off the board for that game. Jets up on the Capitals 2-1, first intermission there. We have the Jets minus 190, Capitals plus 145, live total of 7.5. Hurricanes all over the Bruins. Hurricanes put a 5 spot on the Bruins in the first period. It is 5-1, 3 minutes remaining in the first period. That's pretty impressive. Bruins are 11-1 live, live total of 10 in that game. And let's see. College basketball, a couple of top 25 games going on. We have Kansas up on Oklahoma at the half, 34-32. Kansas, a live betting favorite of 4. 140 is your live total. UConn up on Butler by 15 at half, 39-24. UConn, 19-point live favorite, 129 your live total.
All right, and some good college basketball tonight. Matt Cox will join us a little later from Three Man Weave to talk about that, to talk about the rankings after a bunch of upsets. Gonzaga back to number one in the polls. We'll talk to Maddie here momentarily. It's time, though, ladies and gentlemen, for Teaser Tuesday Division Rank.
Oh. Song's growing on me.
No more Matt Brown on the guitar.
My attorney's a little aggressive, putting the strikes out on YouTube. For all that.
You're too good, man.
Basically, yeah. That's what happened.
You're too good. Teaser Tuesday. Here are your lines currently as we do this Wednesday night. For the two games on Saturday, Titans, 3.5-point favorites, hosting the Bengals, totals 47. Packers, 5.5-point favorites, hosting the Niners, 47.5 is your total. Then Sunday, the Buccaneers, 3-point favorites right now against the Rams, total 48.5. And the Chiefs, down to 2 at DraftKings. 54.5, the total hosting the Bills. So obviously there is no Wong teasers here. But,
no,
in the case of the Bills, there actually is. The Bills would be a Wong teaser leg.
Yes.
That would be the only one.
Yes. I think any of the dogs outside of the Niners are teaserable for me this week.
Boy, you really think the Packers are going to destroy them?
I do. Mm. I do. There's that. The thing is like the 49ers' weakness was just never tested last week. I mean, that was the weirdest thing about the Cowboys was just like
they didn't go deep.
They didn't go deep.
Yeah.
Ever the whole game. Like the one weakness is they never went deep despite the fact that they have the guys to do so.
49ers,
I can assure you.
49ers dead last DVOA, yeah. Passes more than 15 air yards downfield.
I can assure you that Aaron Rodgers is going to go deep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, assure you that he is going to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't – and again, it's just also the circumstances, right? I mean, there's like we just mentioned, I was reading this on the break, and so this is an appropriate time to bring this up. Jimmy G just did his press conference, his weekly midweek press conference, to which he said – the shoulder sprain that we talked about yesterday on the program definitely affected his throws in the game. And so this guy is saying that, yes, my shoulder is jacked up to the point that it affects my throws. And so we have that to go along with the, you know, potentially being without Bosa. There's just a lot of stuff kind of going against the 49ers.
By the way, if that's true, and I have no reason to believe it's not, then what are they doing throwing the ball and he's airmailing it?
I know.
And getting a pick and making a coast game into a sweat.
Did he not go and tell
right
like someone. Oh, by the way,
hey, coach.
Yeah, this is hurting me or something. I have no idea. That was just
to which a coach would never say. Oh, we'll still air it out.
Yeah. That's completely bonkers.
My armors. Get back out there and throw it.
Just throw it over somebody's head.
Completely bonkers. I mean, listen, if you told me, and again, we're down only four games, so you would have to play unconventional teasers. If you wanted to play teasers, there's not a plethora of games to choose from here. So if you said you wanted to take Cincinnati up to 9.5, or if you wanted to do a 6.5er to take it up to 10, I'm never going to sit there and fault you for that. I mean, I think with that offense, we talked about this all season long, and specifically here over the last month of the season, whenever we've seen what Burrow and company can do, I don't think that offense is really ever out of a backdoor cover, especially in a double digit number, right? I mean, at 10, I can't imagine that you would ever think that Bengals team couldn't come back and do that. Rams, I like them to win the game outright against the Bucs, so I certainly would like them at a bigger number as well. And then I think the Bills and Chiefs plays fairly close as well, if not an outright win for the Bills. So, I mean, I think any of those three I would be perfectly comfortable with.
Yeah, I actually ended up putting in a teaser bet last night. I played the Rams up to 9 and then the Bills up to 8.5. So
I would have no problem with Niners, Rams, or Bills. Whichever two you want there, I would have no problem with it. But in the case of the Bills and the Chiefs, there's always that possibility that the Chiefs could go crazy, too.
Yeah, there is. I just think this is a – I think it's a tight game. I think it's a tight – you're right. Like, it's tough. I played the over in that game, too, when those numbers open. So, yeah, I do expect it to be a higher scoring game. But I think it's just going to be, punch after counterpunch with those offenses. So hopefully 8.5 gets me above that. But you're right, Gil. I'm more concerned about losing that leg of it than I am about losing the Rams.
Let's put it this way. Last week it was the Buccaneers was the Wong teaser leg, and you were looking for a dance partner with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about the lone Wong leg on the Bills here. Like, I don't feel it's the Bills or the anchor.
Oh, I think it's the Rams or the anchor. And then, then kind of like you guys said, no matter what else you want to splash in with that, I think Rams are the one to anchor around.
Rams, Niners. If I'm forced to do anything, it's Rams, Niners. If I'm forced.
Mine would be Rams, Bengals. I don't like the Bills leg.
Yeah, like, it's scary.
As much as those other two. The Chiefs, again, if everything is clicking, I mean, if everything's rocking and rolling, and for whatever reason, it not even have to be bad Josh Allen, right? It could just be like league average Josh Allen shows up, then yeah, that one could get out of hand. That's the one that scares me the most, I think, out of all those. I'd play 49ers, I think, even before I would play the Bills.
Rams and Niners for me, I think, hands down, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm with you on the, like, so we were throwing around this morning, how many of the dogs do you think win outright? And I think the consensus is it's the Rams. Like, the Rams are the one that could win outright. And I know some people who like all the dogs plus the points. But I don't know, for me, I think I'll have a money line bet on the Rams just like I did with the Niners last week. I think I'll have a money line bet on the Rams. And then I actually think I'll take the 49ers plus the points, and I'll take the Titans minus the points. Like, for me, it's solidifying. I think I'm Titans laying the points, Niners and Rams taking them, and I don't know what to do with the last one.
Yeah, we'll be on the other side of two of those for sure. Yep. I'm already on Packers at 4.5.
That wouldn't be the first time.
I'm already on Bengals at 3.5. But I do have Rams at plus 3, and again, I wouldn't think twice about playing a money line either. Again, it's such a very, very interesting situation with the offensive line also now added into this whole Bucs thing, right? I mean, Bruce Arians came out today and said it could go right up to Friday before they're able to really figure out what they're going to be able to do with their offensive line. And I mean, one of the keys that this offensive line is, I mean, one of the keys that the Bucs have had all year long is this offensive line keeping Tom Brady clean. And if Tom Brady, listen, yeah, at 44, if he has all day, he can still sit back there and pick you apart and all that. But I mean, if they're piecing together an offensive line against this Rams defensive front with Aaron Donald, with Von Miller, and creating all these other guys that are able to, because they're going to have to account. That's the biggest mismatch here, right? So if they're piecing together this offensive line, they're not going to be able to block Aaron Donald one-on-one. So now they have to double-team Donald, which then creates all these other lanes for all these other guys to come in and do damage. And so that's the thing for me is kind of the turning point there. I think the Rams here are the play.
I don't know if you guys caught in that game, though, in that Eagles-Bucks game, the announcing team even brought this up, but Bruce Arians saying, like, last week during a practice when being asked about all the injured wide receivers and stuff, he was like, as long as I've got Tom Brady in an offensive line, like, this offense can function. And now it's like, it's literally gotten to the point where the offensive line is now suffering. So I do think that is definitely a concern for this Tampa Bay team.
You believe we? I don't know if we did this on air or off air. You believe we have the eight correct teams, though? That these are the best eight teams in football.
Pretty sure. I don't think
we get every year, but yeah. I do think we do here.
I mean, I think if you know what, I can't even say, because I mean, maybe he is healthy and he's just bad now. I was going to say maybe if we had a healthy Dak Prescott and he could actually run that offense, maybe the Cowboys would be at least be in the discussion or something like that. But maybe he is healthy and he just is not.
Yeah, I think personally, I gave him enough time, Matt. So I'm willing to say, yeah, we got the right eight. Like that was I put my money down on the Cowboys defending that we were going to see a different kind of guy. We didn't. So maybe that's just what it is right now at the end of the season with the Cowboys.
I think we had a couple teams slip into wild card spots. I don't think we had any teams slip in here. I think they're all deserving. All eight should be fun. Which is the game you're most looking forward to from just a football loving perspective?
Oh, Bills Chiefs.
Bills not Chiefs. Even, yeah.
Not even a question. Not even a question.
For sure it's Bills Chiefs. I wanted to give another clever answer, but for sure it's Bills Chiefs. 49ers Packers would be second for me, I think, in that group. We'll come back. We'll talk college basketball. Matt Cox, one of the three-man weavers, is here. Got some games tonight, got some picks, we got some action for you. It's coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We got betting splits here at VSiN.com. You should check them out. Latest betting splits on every game. Find out which games are seeing the most tickets written. Odds, data, and analysis for every game. It's yet another way that VSiN is trying to make you the best sports bettor you can be. Start your next sports bet at VSiN.com. So Jimmy Vaccaro, the legendary Jimmy Vaccaro, how lucky are we? Just walks in the studio, right? We're just chilling. Jimmy Vaccaro works about, I don't know, 50 feet behind us. I'm bad with feet. Was it 50 feet, 100 feet? What do you think?
Let's call it 111
feet. 111 feet behind
and
us.
And you will find that white sweatshirt.
Yes, you will. He's the, if Roxy is the best dressed man in the sports book, let's just say Jimmy's not.
Jimmy is the white sweatshirt guy.
He's the white sweatshirt guy. So he walks in here, and he's walked in here twice already, so he just gave us a few tickets that were just made now. Bets behind
us? He walked in here like 45 minutes ago. I know it was about an hour ago at this point.
Yeah.
About an hour ago, told me that they took 50 grand on the Rams plus +3. So then they moved the line, I'm going to guess, to 2.5. And that's what you got in your hands now.
So he has a bet to win $40,000, $44,000 to win 40 on the Buccaneers minus 2.5. He has a money line bet on the Buccaneers at minus 145. $72,500 to win $50,000, and then a bet on the Bills Chiefs. What is this? The total on the Bills Chiefs
under 55.
Under 55. Yeah, was that 33 to win 30? So just a few casual bets here.
And you know, we talked about this here a ton of times. This is unique to what does go on behind us back here, because so typically what would happen is a book would take a bet like that. And then if you wanted that number, if you wanted, it would just, the juice would move, right? Like they wouldn't instantly move it, but they don't move juice here. So whereas, you know, that would have been a 3-120 or something like that, or a 3-150, whatever it might have been, something like that. They just move numbers here. They don't juice. And so that's why it was the only 2.5. It's the only 2.5 I've seen shown in the country.
Yes.
And it's gone now again. I mean, they bought it back, but still, like, yeah, that was the first 2.5 that showed up across the whole country.
All right, let's talk some college basketball. Let's bring him in from Three Man Weave. You can follow him and his buddies at 3MW_CBB. It's Kai McKeon. It's Jim Root. And it's this gentleman right here, Matty Cox, with a haircut and styled. Oh, look at this kid.
Look at that.
Man.
Show off.
Now.
How you doing, Matt?
A little bit more chin hair, though, than last time. So I think it's I'm going to get all cleaned up on top, but I'll just let this kind of the scruff go.
What's going on there, Matt? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm still soul searching for the ultimate combination here. The face and the up top mop. It's tough. It's a work in progress. Still workshopping some different looks here, Gil. But hey, at least this is cleaned up, and my mother can now watch with pleasure.
She watches right. Tonight. You think Mrs. Cox is watching right now? You think
she'll be listening? I don't know if she's watching. Right. More of an audio listener. Yeah.
How are you, ma'am? We'll treat your son, you know, substantially well, not completely well. Let me ask
you. Fan of the show, Gil. Fan of the program.
Fan of the program. I appreciate it. So before we get to your picks here tonight, a lot of upsets in college basketball. Gonzaga back to being number one. In fact, we had 13 teams losing in the AP Top 25 here of late, including 9 alone on Saturday. 8 teams happened to lose to unranked opponents. And so I guess the question is, is that justified? Is Gonzaga the best team in the country to you?
Yep. Never doubted that. I think this is just one of those times of the year where you're going to see more upsets. There's just, I think, natural ebbs and flows in the course of the season where people are prone to overreacting based on one or two results. I've always said I think each team is worthy of at least the top end of the totem pole, right? Top 25, top 30 teams. They're always, you give them a hall pass for 2 stinkers a year. So I don't want to overreact to Baylor losing 2 in a row. I don't want to overreact to some of these other top teams getting dethroned. What your perception was coming into Christmas, I think, should stay pretty on par with where you're at now. And Gonzaga has always been my number one power rated team. Had them from start to from the beginning of non-conference to where we are now. They've done nothing to prove otherwise. So I think they're loaded the way they play balanced. Their pace is NBA. I mean, it's just nuts how fast they play and how well connected they are. I think they're the best team.
Worth a 6-to-1 shot? That's not like negligible.
No, it's not. I think there's just a lot of good teams in like that 1B. If you put in Gonzaga like on 1A, I think 1B is really good. I think Duke's all the way legit. I think Purdue's going to trend back up there. People have kind of slept on them because they've had a couple of stinkers. Kansas. And then like Auburn and Kentucky and Arizona, I think, are 3 legit dark horses too. So I'd probably stay away just because I think their competition in that next cut below is a lot better than in usual years. Where like last year you saw the Gonzaga Baylor 1A, 1B in a pretty big seismic step down. This year I think there's a lot at the top end.
Matt, I don't want to know how you got to a play in Cal Poly in Cal State Bakersfield. I don't know how you got there. I don't want to know about the social life problem maybe that you've got going on right here to where you could get to a play in this game. But let's get to the play in this game.
Looking at Cal Poly, that's number 661 on the betting rotation. I mean, to be honest, fellas, not a ton left here on the slate tonight. Slim picking, so you're kind of hamstringing me here. I got a few big bets currently in progress that I'm sweating. But I'll multitask and give you a decent breakdown why. Just the number's too big. Cal Bakersfield might be the most antiquated offense in the entire country. That's who Cal Poly's playing. The Roadrunners attempt one of the lowest three-point rates in the country. They don't take any threes, and they turn the ball over extensively. It's one of the most painful teams to watch, and Cal Poly's been semi-feisty. I think 7 is just a massive spread for a team like Bakersfield to cover. So it's that simple.
Let's go back to the rankings. I'm very interested in this. Because you don't have any more plays the rest of the way tonight, right? Is that correct?
No, that's it. I'm sorry. Keeping it short. I've been a little cold on this program, Gil. So
What are you sweating right now, though? Yeah. So we can
sweat along with you. Just out
of curiosity.
Yeah. I got a big bet on Ball State and a big bet on Manhattan, which were both first-half winners. But unfortunately, when you bet on a full game, the first-half tally doesn't really matter. So you got to play a full 40, I believe.
Got to play a full 40. All right, let's talk about Auburn for a second. Auburn was 16-1 to win it all. It's their highest ranking since reaching number 2 in the country back in the 99-2000 season. How good is this team? How good are the Auburn Tigers? And how much of a run could they make in an NCAA tournament?
I think their ceiling runs as high as any team in the country. Now, I don't have them power rated quite up there with Gonzaga or Duke or even Kansas or even Arizona or Baylor. Actually, I have Kentucky rated a slight notch ahead. I think that's a whole separate discussion how good that team's going to be too. But just the collection of pieces and the versatility that this Auburn team has, they have these dynamic guards that can go kill you with speed and shot making. They have Walker Kessler inside, who's an absolute force. Oh, and they also have the number 1 overall pick in Jabari Smith. So, I mean, they just kind of check all the boxes. And I think with a guy like Smith, the way he's developing, the guy like Alan Flanagan, who's another potential lottery pick, there's like NBA talent upside that you look for in the national title contender type team with some experienced guards. But I don't quite have them right now within the top five in my power ratings.
What about Arizona? Arizona sitting 3 in the AP poll right now, 14-1. If you take a look at their odds to win the Pac-12, sitting just plus 105, so almost even money for them to pick to take the Pac-12 down. How did you have them coming into the season, and are they just greatly exceeding your expectations?
Oh, yeah, they've busted through, I think, everyone's expectations. I want to say we were a little bit higher on both the Wildcats and the Ducks, Oregon, a team that suddenly flipped the switch out of nowhere this past weekend, sweeping the L.A. trip, USC, UCLA. But Arizona, I think there's a lot of parallels with Gonzaga, obviously, because their head coach, Tommy Lloyd, longtime assistant there. The two fastest in terms of offensive possession length in the entire country, two fastest teams, Gonzaga and Arizona. They just play like a different style of basketball. It's like a true NBA. You race the ball off. You're going right into your stuff. The constant off-ball motion and screening. I think there's a lot of chess versus checkers when they're on the floor. Not only do they have great talent, but just the way they play is so innovative and very much mirrors a lot of the creative, innovative stuff you're seeing in the NBA. So, I mean, just two brilliant coaches. I'm glad that Tommy Lloyd got a great job at Arizona. He's well-deserving of it. Waited a long time at Gonzaga, and now he's doing yeoman's work there in Tucson.
Last thing, Matt. Kelly Bidlin, I'm not sure if you've met Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin attended Florida State University, and they play Duke tonight. Duke is a 5-point road favorite. You don't have a play here, but if you could give your thoughts on this either way.
Pretty hard lean toward Duke. I have a small, bet a few pennies on both Duke and Kansas tonight. Two short road favorites going on the road. I just don't think either home court spot sets up very well. In this particular matchup with Florida State, I know Florida State's got athletes and size that could potentially negate what I think Duke's core competency is, and that's just like blue chip caliber talent at all five positions. But with the recent change that Duke made, they put A.J. Griffin in the starting lineup. This guy basically was buried to start the year for the first month because he was coming off injury. Now he's like a top 10 lottery pick the way he's shooting it. Duke's scary good. The question is if they're motivated and if they're locked in. If they are, they'll cover every game that they're in that mindset. But you got to be worried about, I guess, a road test, potentially a potential landmine slip up here.
Did you have Michigan crushing Maryland by 19 right now? Good Lord.
It felt like the all-time buy low for Michigan, but no, I didn't. That team has shown no evidence to present any sort of confidence. But they got Dickinson back, and turns out he matters.
Turns out he matters. DeMatha High Shocking. School's Dickinson, by the way. Hunter Dickinson.
Right.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. What's the pick again tonight real quick for everybody?
Cal Poly.
Plus the seven.
Catching a touchdown. That's right.
Catching a touchdown. Thank you, Matt.
I need to watch it.
We'll talk to Kai in the morning on a numbers game. You're off. I didn't mean like that.
Whoa.
I just meant he was off
Get
duty.
Him out of here.
I
didn't
mean it like
out
that.
Of here.
Didn't mean it like that. Wow, that sounded rude. Yeah. I didn't mean it like that at all.
Like the new hair, buddy.
Yeah, it was great. NBA MVP odds. We'll take a look at those. And Drew Densick will join us, among other things. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action. Don't forget, it's never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, again, not next week championship weekend, but the big game weekend, we'll have 56 hours. Count them, Mateo, 56.
You know what? Huh. 57, you're staying an extra hour.
I am?
57, yes.
Oh, no.
57 hours.
A free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our 6th annual live big game betcast. Wow. 6th. The first one we ever did, I'm trying to remember, what was the first game we were in here for? The Patriots and the Falcons, the big comeback, was the first one we ever did. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. That one was actually before our first day of weekly VSiN network. So it was the earlier in the February, we started February 27th of 2017, VSiN went live on air, but it was the Super Bowl a few weeks before that. That was our very first betcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty VSiN OG, but not that OG.
Oh,
I was here like 6 months after that.
Yeah, I'm as OG as they
Talk about another Super Bowl where I lost a lot of money.
I had the Patriots minus the points. Unbelievable
that
Falcons
it covered. I was Falcons every way possible. Oh, God.
We were in here at halftime. It was me, Brent, and Humans. And I think Brent was like, well, see you guys. This one's, I can't remember what his words were. Humans remembers what his exact. We were like, oh my God. And then Tom Brady and the Patriots happened.
That's got to be a weird feeling where you're like halfway through that. You're like, oh my gosh, we could not have picked a worse game to start this, you know, really show off the network on. And then by the end of it, you're like, we could have picked a better game for this.
People, that's the one Super Bowl where people remember the score 28-3 more than they remember the final score.
Yeah. Yep.
I couldn't even tell you what the
final score. I couldn't tell you what it is.
Off the top. But it went to OT, right? That was the first OT Super Bowl? Did it go to OT? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to remember what the score was. 34-31?
I'm thinking 34-31. By the way, I didn't have the Patriots minus the points. I had the Patriots money line because it was a muted money line. But yeah, it's just that was maybe when you think about
34-28.
34-28.
So Falcons didn't score again.
They didn't score again. It went 28-28 and then they scored, and that was the Julian Edelman catch, yes? Was that the game? The Julian Edelman catch with a helmet? Tyree-like catch. Just amazing. When you think of Tom Brady's career, which, by the way, this just in is not over yet, but when you think of the greatest games of his career, isn't that Falcons Super Bowl a number one top of list in terms of memorable?
For me,
I think it has to be.
Yeah, I think so.
There are others for sure, but that's got to be top of list.
What else is up there?
For Brady?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
there's a lot. That's kind of the
pick
thing.
A Super Bowl, right?
Right. I think it's that. I still think it's that.
You know, in terms of just memorable, I'm just saying, in defeat, right, the Giants beating them is probably up there.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just talk overall Super Bowl memories, it's probably Falcons and then that Giants one. You know, 1A, 1B, one way or the other.
Yeah. Our boy Ote better get his act together.
Oh, boy.
Dropped the second set.
Come on, Ote.
Broken now in the third set. So we'll see.
Killing me, Ote.
Torma lost a tiebreaker.
She lost a horrific tiebreaker where she was up a break in that set.
Oh, boy.
We'll see. Long way to go. Long way to go, both.
Oh, boy.
who used to say that? Little bully.
Oh, bully. Some cartoon character. Who was it?
Yeah, who was the...
I don't remember.
Bully. Bully. That Droopy Dog, right?
Oh, it was Droopy
Dog. I don't remember. Wait, was that his actual name?
Was Droopy Dog the one in the elevator with the keg right here under its chin?
I don't know. I'm just talking about that dog that had all droopy features. Was his name actually Droopy?
Gilling up. What was that dog? Gilling up. I love those old cartoons.
Oh, man.
Oh, you had to be born when we were born to appreciate stuff like that, huh? Skewing older is what we're doing.
That guy's name was Droopy. Yeah, Droopy the dog.
Droopy the dog. Skewing older. Get flatter on the phone. Let's skew even older.
He'd be like, want to go Jeopardy on them? Like, 1960s cartoon characters. Let's go.
Gil, you remember that episode of I Love Lucy? No, I do not. I do not, actually.
I, in fact, do not remember.
All right, so I Love Lucy. We were batting these around this morning. Potential, let's guess lines of championship week.
Ooh,
of the championship week.
Before we move on to, what hockey game did Annie McNeil make me bet?
I bet Calgary Flames.
Calgary Flames.
All right. Are you in on that?
Yeah, that one hadn't started yet.
You are a rampant hockey bettor now.
Yeah, seriously, man.
Wow.
You got a hockey problem, bro.
Guys, when you can't bet soccer, you bet soccer on ice. All right? I cannot bet soccer. I bet soccer on ice. Now.
Matt, 1-800-RESOLUTIONS. 1-800-GAMBLER, man.
New Year's resolutions, Gilly's sticking to it.
That was from last year.
This one's sticking to it from two years ago.
I'm sticking to the soccer thing all the way through 2022.
He can't bet soccer because he made a resolution 2 years ago. So now he's betting ice soccer.
Honestly, who wants to bet soccer anyway? That's a personal opinion. That's not one of the network.
Oh, there are people who love it.
That's a personal opinion, not one of the network.
Yes, it's Matt Brown.
That's a personal opinion.
All right, so I'm gonna throw out a matchup. You tell me what you think the line will be. Obviously, we don't know the nature of the games this weekend. We don't know if anybody's going to get hurt. We don't know if one team's going to clobber another or just squeak by. Obviously, those are elements we cannot predict. But let's just say everybody gets unscathed. Everybody does what they're supposed to do kind of thing. Titans host the Chiefs. What's that line? AFC first.
We're going to switch off answering.
4.5 Chiefs.
Chiefs on the road, 4.5 point favorites. You?
Wow. I was going to say Chiefs 2.
I'll say Chiefs 3. Titans hosting the Bills.
The reason I think 4.5 is because if they put it at 3, it's going to get destroyed. I think that they build themselves in a little. Maybe it's not 4.5. Maybe it's 4.
Chiefs cushion?
I think they build in themselves a little bit of Chiefs cushion there.
Yeah, but once Derrick Henry runs for 185 yards this week.
You know, I'm going to take back my answer. I think I'm going to go with 3 on that one, like you said, Gil, because mm-hmm. I think that's where they can see then where it moves.
If they put it at 2, they would never put it at 2, because if they put it at 2, they would get a trillion, zillion, billion dollars on the Chiefs. And like, they couldn't do that.
Titans hosting the Bills.
2.
That would be 3.
I'm going to say that's pretty darn close to a pick. Pretty darn close to a pick. But the Bills will probably be a tick of a favorite. What if it's the Bengals at the Chiefs?
9.
7.5.
I had 7.
Yeah, 7.5.
What if it's the Bengals at the Bills?
6.5.
Yeah, I'll say 6. I'll say 6. Let's go to the NFC. What if it's the Bucks at the Packers?
Well, because this line is weird now. So this they're 3-point favorites over the Rams, who I think are a better team. So I guess like just odds makers in general.
Think about those. Brady will have overcome the Rams.
Right.
He'll still be alive.
That's going to be the problem.
Right.
So I'd go like Packers 3 again and then watch where it goes.
I think it'll be no more than 3. Because if Brady gets this far, there's going
to
be a whole
you
Brady narrative.
You have to factor that in. I was going to say 4, 4.5, but you're right. Once you say it that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because they will have beat the Rams, and then also then Brady becomes the story. Again, like we also have to think like liability, right? Like they're not gonna put themselves in a position to where it could be to be nasty. So, yeah, probably right on the field goal, something like that, Packers.
What about the Rams at the Packers? I think it's the same.
I think it's the same. Because I think you kind of flip then that narrative, right?
Yes.
You're not having the Tom Brady narrative. You likely have the Rams go into Tampa.
Think about the Rams with all those players against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. That's the narrative.
And think we got to – I mean, it opened 4.5. I mean, it's not there now, but, I mean, it opened 4.5 with the Niners, which the Bucks and the Rams are power ranked higher than the Niners in every – every book's power rankings, every whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's...
It can't be anywhere close to that. You're right, yeah.
So what did we say, 3?
3.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 for everything. What if it's the Niners at the Bucks?
So you gotta still keep that Bucks narrative in mind, though, right? Because they still go...
But at that point, the Niners can beat anybody.
Right.
Bucks.
Except you're a running team against one of the better running defenses.
Yes.
Bucks 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Bucks 4.
I think it's over 3. I think 4. I think you're in that no man's land, 4-5.
And then finally, 49ers at the Rams for the third time.
And I think it's like
probably same
a
thing.
Little bit tighter because,
divisional
like you said,
opponent.
Because of the whole thing of the third. Maybe if we say 4 for the other one, 3.5, 3.5.
And people will say Rams led the last one 17-0 before the Niners had the furious comeback.
They will go with the Rams home field advantage is worth 0.
Yeah.
Maybe quarter of a point. Home field advantage, a quarter of a point. Something like that. Because, I mean, there were people who said, you know, for a lot of these games where it's 60-40, 50-50 as far as the crowds over there.
Yeah. These are great. Like, we certainly didn't expect 4 ridiculous blowouts this past weekend. But I don't know that there's a blowout on this board. I guess you could see if the 49ers, the injuries killed him, and if
Jimmy can't throw the ball,
then I
think the Packers could run away with it.
Could.
If he can't throw the ball. We'll see how this sprained shoulder thing works out.
We're hoping that this is a far more entertaining weekend. And may your bets be as profitable. We'll come back. We'll talk NBA MVP. Is there a bet to be made there now? By the way, Rudy Gobert, that guy you made fun of, he's 4th at Basketball Reference in this. Next, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, Gil, Matt, and Kelly. Glad you could hang with us Wednesday night. The week leading up to the divisional round in football, and really like the last super-duper great football week, because once these games are over, then it's like, oh, no, there's only 2 games left in the Super Bowl. Oh, my God.
Don't
I miss football
me.
Already.
Don't remind me.
How about NBA odds to win the MVP? Steph Curry, still your short shot. Steph's plus 150, but the gap is a-closing. Giannis, plus 330. He is the second short shot. Then the reigning NBA MVP, Nikola Jokic, at 7-1. And then it's the double-digit parade. Embiid, 13-1. Durant, now with the injury, has fallen to 13-1 just because he's not going to be on the court. And he's not going to be on the court for a while. Ja is at 14-1 now. He's the biggest mover probably since the last time we did these. And then everybody else on the right, perhaps highlighted by LeBron at 40-1. Is there a bet here, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, Ja was 80-1, I believe, at the beginning of December. So yeah, that one's crashed. I don't think I can recommend betting on that anymore, even just because of the price movement.
And then gone in the complete other direction is Harden, who was like at 20, 25. Right. Now he's up at 80.
I mean, the big shakeup here is Kevin Durant was like plus 250 before he got hurt. So he gets hurt, slides down to 13-1. Supposed to be out, what, 6 to 8 weeks is what the estimate is. So I don't really know how you could put a bet in on him anymore, because, I mean, you miss two months of the season and then maybe more. I mean,
it's too much.
Every one of these injuries, you can never bank on it really being 6 weeks.
Remember, that was our big debate with LaMelo Ball with Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Rookie of the Year is one thing. MVP with so many candidates is a completely different story.
And, like, that's, like, I don't know. A lot of people might, like, be like, what? But that is so perfectly well said. Like, it is. I'm sorry. But there's more candidates for this than what there oftentimes is in Rookie of the Year.
It's pretty interesting because Steph has really had a really bad stretch by Steph standards. So it was a slam dunk. I mean, I was the first one saying, like, this is not going to be like last year's MVP. It's going to be Steph's to lose the whole way. And he's trying to lose it, I guess, here of late.
You just can't. I mean, we're halfway through the season. You just can't bet him at plus 150. It's just,
no,
you know
you
what
cannot.
I mean? Just from a betting standpoint,
no.
You cannot make that bet right
Absolutely
now.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I even hate to say it, but I liked Giannis when we were talking about this 2 weeks ago when he was more 9-1 and when Durant was down there, but him at a little over 3-1, I don't think you can really bet.
Well, what about, so we talked about the Grizzlies earlier and we're saying, okay, great regular season team. They come at you in waves, but postseason, totally different thing because going to be different rotations and, you know, these guys are going 100% all out every game. But Ja for MVP, you just said it, you said what a lot of us say on these shows, which is, well, I can't recommend it at 14-1 because it had moved from 80-1, you know, so on and so forth. But I grabbed it at 25-1 knowing that this was going to happen. But,
yeah, I mean, so here's the thing, though. The reason you're betting it at 14-1 is because circumstances have changed.
Yes.
So it's not like you missed it at 80-1.
Yeah.
Things have changed. One of the guys who was an overwhelming favorite is now is all but out of the race. I understand he's 13-1, but like, he's all but out of the race. As Gil mentioned, I mean, we look at this very, very un-Steph-like stretch here. I mean, it's now 9 games, which, again, you're like, dude, it's 9 games. But when you're only talking 82 games.
We're at 10%.
Like, yeah, it's 10% of the games.
Yep.
He's shooting 35% from the field, 30% from three, which, again, is just not very Steph-like. So things have changed. Like something is either wrong with Steph or something, whatever. That we know Durant is not going to be around for a long time, so I don't think you look at it from that standpoint. I think you look at it from like, no, situations changed, so does that make 14-1
yes,
a good number?
And I think a lot of that is because we're in our little world of sports bettors where we know if you recommend something like that, like you were intimating, Kelly, if you recommend something like that, there's always going to be some people out there like, oh, I can't believe you're recommending it at 14-1. It was just this the other day.
Yeah.
That's my imitation of the person who says that. But I agree with everything Matt said. That was why I brought it up, which is Ja at 14-1 possibly still the best bet on this board?
I'd rather bet Jokic at 7-1.
Okay.
He's having a better year than he did last year, honestly. But this team it's just devoid of talent. So how do you want to look at it from a voting standpoint of he's basically doing everything for this team, but they're going to flirt with making the playoffs? Or do you want to look at it like, okay, well, you know, Jamal Murray's not there, so of course he has to do everything, so his stats are going to be inflated, you know, as opposed to some of these other guys. I don't really know. I think that I would rather make that bet over Ja Morant, but I do think there's an opportunity that I don't like. We saw how quickly Ja Morant, you know, how quickly his odds got cut shorter and shorter week by week.
The biggest
I think there's some opportunity to take some longer shots on here.
The biggest thing for Ja Morant is the Grizzlies have the third best record in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, Luka Doncic has not had the season I thought he was going to have. But at 50-1 on a team that's won 11 straight games or whatever the Mavericks are up to.
9 of 10.
I mean, at 50-1 for a team they're finally on the uprise, like, I wouldn't have any problem with that. Matt, you talked about Harden.
So that's what I was just about to say. So listen, here's the thing. We talk about situations changing, right? So he's now at 80-1 with Durant out. And then the headline today, Irving rooted in vaccine stance despite KD injury. Mm-hmm. So
he ain't changing.
So at least every home game, Harden's gonna have to get this done on his own.
Yep.
And then you're looking at a guy that is still at right now 22.7 points, 8 boards, and 10 assists a game. Right? I mean, it's not like this line is bad or anything. And so now you add in this incredible opportunity for him to – and now it can make him completely fall off as well, right? I mean, if he starts just bombing up a million shots a game and he goes completely stone cold, I mean, it could end up being a bad bet. But at 80-1, an opportunity has now been presented for Harden to really make a case, right? Because, again, all the home games is him.
Yeah, I love it. Frankly, that's actually, if I can find a bet here, if I can find a number like that here in town, I'll probably get add to that tonight. I think that's exactly the way to look at it. I mean, I think most of us still think this Nets team is going to be pretty good, and Harden's going to have to carry them now for the next couple months. So kind of like you made that bet with Ja Morant, Gil, it's like there's almost – like, I don't see – yes, you're right, Matt. Like, there's a way of it backfiring if you're the only player there, but, like –
right, if he starts just shooting 23, you know, whatever, yeah, 15 but, threes like, a game and
but
he's shooting –
we've seen this already, right? Yeah. We saw this last year even when it was Harden by himself for so long. Like, it's – the guy was going to – he's going to show up and put up some numbers. So I actually like that bet.
It's sort of the same theory, and I'm not comparing Ja Morant to the Shohei thing, but I got the last 4-1 on Shohei in town, right? And Shohei before the season was 33-1, and some people even said 50-1, and Shohei ended up being minus bajillion. So I was thrilled with my 4-1, you know, even though at the moment you buy it, you're like, whatever. So here, this is Basketball Reference. I'm not saying this is the gospel, but basketballreference.com has an MVP tracker. And would you like to hear how they list it top 10 right now?
Yeah.
10th, Ja Morant, in terms of probability. 9th, LeBron. 8th, Steph Curry. 7th, James Harden. 6th, Chris Paul. 5th, Joel Embiid. 4th, Rudy Gobert. 3rd, KD. 2nd, Giannis. Number 1, Nikola Jokic. Per their model. They give Jokic and Giannis 25.8% and 25.4% chances respectively. So it's really Jokic versus Giannis.
We used to talk about, we still do, how it could be like LeBron every year. It's really like Jokic, Giannis, it could be one of those two every single year. I think that's going to be the case in the NBA for the next 7-8 seasons.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think at this point there are bets to be made. We can at least put it that way.
Yeah.
I think there are at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a very bettable market right now.
But like, can we X off who's the worst candidate on that board?
I mean, I can't bet Steph at +150.
Durant
is would the be worst. The one. Yes. He's just not playing.
Yeah.
For a long time.
You have no idea when he's going to be back. I mean, it's 2 months most likely, and it could be more than that.
So there could also be this whole, and depending on where they're sitting in the whole, there could be a ramp up period. There could be all that stuff going on. So I mean,
yeah,
like, he might not be back to action for even well beyond that.
It could be playoffs. It could be second round of the playoffs.
Because they could be looking at it like, oh, well, we can't really increase anymore, so we're not going to rush him back. Or if they're like, you know, oh, we're pretty much dead in the water. So, I mean, yeah, that's another thing about this whole Durant thing. So Durant at 13-1 is the one that, for me, dead.
Yeah,
dead
I think bet. It's Durant, and then it's probably Steph. The rest are at least bettable. I wouldn't bet any of the Suns just because I think that you're going to get in the voters' mind of them canceling each other out. I wouldn't have any problem with anybody betting LeBron at 40-1. DeMar DeRozan, I'm not running to make this bet, but 30-1 with Zach LaVine out, same kind of – narrative. He's going to have to carry the way a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not sure if DeBar's an MVP.
I don't think so.
Yeah, either. I don't think so either. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick from both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast will join us. See if he has any picks in the late basketball game in the NBA. But we'll get his divisional round plays primarily. That's next. It's VSiN's Primetime Action live from the South Point.